Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Jimmy Savetic. Jimmy Savetic worked as an Allegheny County policeman in Pittsburgh for over 30 years, including work as a uniformed officer, a homicide detective, and an undercover narcotics officer. He has written plays, children's books, and over 3,000 poems over the past four decades, while also managing a number of boxing gyms. The recipient of many awards, including a Jefferson Award as Citizen of the Year, an honor founded by Jackie Kennedy Onassis, the Kids Need Heroes Award, as well as recognition from the Sons and Daughters of the American Revolution. Savetic's new book is entitled Secret Society of Dog and is published by Awesome Books. A Vietnam veteran, Savetic is also a founder of the Three Rivers Peace Project and has always believed that we can change the world. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey, it's all good. You know that.
It's great to have you here. It's been a while since you've been on.
Yes, thank you.
So why don't you start with some poems?
Well, let's get started.
Okay.
Bones to Chimes. I dug Bukowski up and took some of Chinowski's ribs. Don't really care about his gravestone. Two boxers squared off. Don't even try. Then I went to find Bandini's bones. Broke off a couple of his fingers. If you don't believe, just ask the dust. Then I went to South America and found out where they buried Neruda and broke a piece of his jawbone and took a couple of his teeth and yelled, "Residents of the Earth!" I then made my way to Concord and found the grave of Henry David, and I dug him up with my hands out of quiet desperation. I took his femur and a couple of spine bones. I saved enough money and went to England and found Shakespeare's grave. Didn't care about the curse. I took his skull and an old yellow manuscript. I went to my writing room, got a piece of fishing line and sewed Chinowski's ribs, Bandini's fingers, Neruda's jawbone and teeth, Henry David's femur, and Shakespeare's skull. It took several decades to sew the bones, and it was missing sound. So I went to New York and dug up Whitman and snapped off his toes one by one. I went home and tied Whitman with the other bones. And then I went outside next to the large evergreen and tied the bone wind chimes. It sounded like the most beautiful war ever waged. It sounded like the horn of Gabriel. It sounded like Cleo and Anthony mounting Egypt with Rome. It smelled like the moat in a castle that Joan had scaled to freedom of France, to the screams of a throng watching a saint being burnt to death. It tasted of the liver of a gazelle killed by a lion. The bones crashed into each other like the waves of Big Sur. The chimes called for Hemingway and Cervantes. I sat on the steps of my porch and thanked them for sound and magic and thought of Twain and the mighty Mississippi and said, "The gods have been good," and fell into a sleep dreaming of Milton's eyes. As a homicide detective, this is a sort of a collage of many, well, just read it to you. Waking up in the middle of the night. I want sometimes the clock to quit ticking inside my head, and it sometimes awakens me in the middle of the night to the past. Ricky and Kelly brought the gangs to Pittsburgh, and the killings began. The boy from Philadelphia shot in the head by the Lincoln statue, the girl by the fence, she was Jamaican, the barber from Braddock, the guy from Homestead, his eyes open. As they started to throw a sheet, the killer said, "Let him see. I want him to see who killed him." Hornet shot at least 9, maybe 10 times. The 24th of December, Merry Christmas. Boy in front of Mickey D's, the man who went to pick up donuts for his kids. Then there was 17-year-old Lamar and the kid that went to pick up a job application for his cousin. and the mother that was shot in front of her son, and the man that was shot at Hunter Field, his body dumped in an alley, and the girl that was beat by the men from McKeesport, and the guy that owned the Italian store in Shadyside, on and on. The pulse, you cannot feel the blood splashing, spilling, shot, anger, and tears, and time beats on, and the clock ticks on and on. This is not Chaucer or Milton nor Eliot or Sandburg, Whitman or Emily nor Olds, Canal or Haney. Wish that you could see Danielle or Tara, feel how I remember them in prayer. And I'm not a man that kneels well or begs well, not in plea or want, for my needs are few and my wants are less. Like Valerie, who said, I'm hit, then dies just hours after Hornet. Why am I remembering tonight, but every night like a tick or a talk? Could get angry at Smith & Wesson, Colt, Louisville Slugger, or angry at anger. I'll kill you for $2 quicker than principle, knowing I can't make you feel, cause most don't want to know how to feel. The weight is heavy to carry like a bucket of tears or a memory, like buying a baby a mobile over the crib so their eyes focus, or a sound of a wind-up toy that plays soft music or wind chimes, that kind of feeling where it can be felt, maybe like a prayer or maybe a poem. What I had fun with this next poem was I met Allen Ginsberg, and I don't know, he was all right. And but I watch what he did, juxtaposition the Leaves of Grass. And so what I did was I played around. I'm just going to read you a little part of this called The Whale. This was in the magazine Yup, and I was really honored that they would publish this. And a couple, matter of fact, they published several of my poems in the Yup magazine. And Whale. I wish to honor the spirit of the earth. The leaves are dry and brown, gathered brown around the trunk of cities. The minds of good turn to madness. Angry fix does not matter anymore. I no longer hunt for the blade of grass through the Negro streets at dawn. I do not invite my soul. I no longer look to heaven, the great machinery of stars, the grinding gears of planets, or moons spinning around the earth of many earths. No longer eat the earth's soil or taste air of my youth. Closer to 60 than the swing hips of 37, to all the poverty of the poor and the ill-got gains of the rich, who try to contemplate jazz with 10 ears of greed of wealth, counting stacks, counting land, counting time, counting more stones, counting more bucks. More lines understood in the great book, more heaven than the poor. I breathe the city. I breathe the rats. I celebrate the taxation. I celebrate the law. I celebrate the interpolation of law. I silence the tear of my mind. There is good as well as bad in my soul. Intoxicate myself by drinking my soul in gulps of verse, obscene poems that glorify war, glorify the fix of battle, glorify the sky pilot flying over the sand fields of the fallen, glorify the empty body bags. I sing inspiration of empty body bags. I sing of urinal smell of decades in the New York subway. I'm just going to stop right there. And that was my, obviously, to the Howl and the tribute to Whitman.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Jimmy Savetic. And he's reading some poems, some new poems, some older poems, and some poems from his new book, Secret Society of Dog, which just was published by Awesome Books. Jim, I want to congratulate you on your new book. It's a really great thing because you've been writing these poems for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my nickname, Dog, undercover name I used. I used it because I didn't want anybody to know my real name. And it worked. And it was, if it worked, I surely wasn't going to fix it. And I had the Society of Dogs. These were the characters I met. And over the years, I've kept thousands of poems of these characters. And they seem to work. And I almost like a Chaucer, you know, those characters. And that's what this society is about, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you talk a little bit about writing those poems? I mean, would you write after a shift, or what sort of drove you to write about that stuff?
Well, I've been writing poems since I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but since I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, I would come home from work and I would make some notes and I would write them. Of course, I started out, hand and typewriter, years and years of typewriter, and the computer came around, which was, cool. And I log them, save them, and I have thousands now. Mm-hmm. Different events, different, Twain said truth is stranger than fiction. And you cannot make these things up. I wish I could. And but the people I met along the way, I would just go, oh, my God. And it has a sweet side to it. Some of the people, most people that I met as a police officer were good. And you wanted to help them out. But the glaring part were the people that were not so good, that were, sometimes people have to sit behind the wall just so they can be in society. You can't beat a woman leaving a bingo game, or you shouldn't beat anybody up. You can't some of the horrific things, diabolical things I've seen. I wouldn't want anybody to see this, yet alone they've done this. I've seen things with these over these years with these eyes that you just shake your head. Most police officers see that.
Mm-hmm. And, well, there's a lot of that in your poetry, and some there's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of pain in your work.
It has a little bit of touch of pain, and also mm-hmm. have a. I think people should be aware of it. Police work. I believe in the oath. I believe in the blue. I believe that you're there to serve and protect. Personal integrity above all. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I've always governed myself with that principle. Mm-hmm. And to this day I do. You cannot barter mm-hmm. that. You can't sell it. You never entrap. You never hurt. You don't do those things. I never did them. Most of the guys I knew did not. Mm-hmm. Or I wouldn't be around them. If they did it, I wasn't aware. But anyway, I did was I capture that.
Can you read some more poems?
Sure. The first kid I arrest is a little Smith boy, and this is why I have boxing gyms to this day. I have six boxing gyms because of this boy. This is called Badge, my very first arrest. I remember my first arrest, Smith boy for stealing a tape deck from a car, him and the yacht and ball kid. I just graduated from the police academy, everything shiny and new, and I kept bumping into things with my Smokey the Bear hat. Every time I got in and out of the car, I knocked my hat off, and the leather strap gave me a rash. But I knew I was pretty, and the ladies just loved you. And the way I strutted, I could have hung my hat on my manly. Anyway, I grabbed the Smith boy. He was just 13 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of a kid you place under a Christmas tree at church, that kind of kid that sings midnight mass, that kind of kid. When I grabbed him, he was crying, scared. I was holding him by the back of his belt. I was scared. Never having made an arrest before, I knocked my head off at the same time I read him his rights. I should have seen, but I didn't see, couldn't see. He was just 13, reminded me of a choir boy, an angel you place next to a nativity scene, blonde straw hair, corn silk blown to the wind, blue eyes crying. Juvenile lockup gave him a break. He died a year and a half later, never made 15, overdose of the street. I always remember his face and the things I couldn't see, things that are never seen, fate, and he will be forever young. That little boy will have immortality for me. Stolen teeth. This was an old informant, and his name was Gummy. I met Gummy in front of the federal building. He was all dressed up like he was going to church. Well, dressed up for him, a green checkered suit hung three sizes too big, barely could see his hands, and he was walking on the cuffs, pants hiked up to mid-chest and in folds tied with a belt. He had a brown tie with a green and gold trout jumping and a large choke knot size of a baseball, and he smiled at me all pride. A large set of teeth, more teeth than I ever saw, stopped me dead in the middle of a handshake. I said, "Gummy, where'd you get all them teeth?" He said, "Stole them in a burglary. How I look?" "Good, I guess. Never saw you with teeth before." "They're sure a lot," Gummy said. "I needed them. Got caught today before slamming Sammy, and I wanted to look my best." "Where'd you get the suit?" He said, "In another second story, but the guy's dead. He was a neighbor, and I knew he wouldn't need it anymore." I said, "Gummy, you robbed a dead man's suit. Aren't you afraid of hell?" "No, because God said the Lord helps them that helps themselves." I said, "What about thou shalt not steal?" Gummy said, "I never take more than I can carry, and that ain't really stealing." I smirked. "You got a lot of teeth there. I mean, never saw you with a full set of teeth." "Well, they kind of feel funny. I had to use a lot of glue, and I shimmied some rubber bands underneath so they wouldn't slip." I said, "Man, if you get caught stealing a man's teeth or a dead man's suit, the judge is going to drop the jail on you." Gummy said, "You sometimes got to do what you got to do. Besides, I'm sure the man got an extra set of choppers anyway. Nobody needs two." I reached over, straightened his tie. "Gummy, I think you've been hit too many times falling off the bar stool, and gong goes your head." He said, "Listen, don't be so damn righteous. You've had done the same thing if you was going in front of Slam and Sammy. Lend me 20 till tomorrow." I said, "You never pay me back. You owe me a stack of 20s and a stack of tomorrows." Gummy said, "When I hit it big and I ain't it in 2 days, you're lying and your teeth show it. You'll drink your lunch." He loosened his tie. "I swear to God, I ain't had a drop in 2 weeks on my children's eyes." I said, "Don't bring God into your scam, and I don't want to see your kids with a cane." I handed him a 10. He snatched the money like he was feeding the trout on his tie. "Thank you, but I could have used the 20. I said, "10 will keep you sober, and best not to be late for Slam and Sam." He said, "Wish me luck. You think I should carry a Bible?" I said, "No, Sammy might ask you to read the 10 Commandments, and you broke at least 7. Good luck." Gummy said, "If no luck, I'll see you in 90, and I'll mail you the teeth so you can get them back to the guy." Sun reflected on the window of the federal building. He dragged away, almost tripping with each step. I thought, there's reason even for stealing a man's teeth, and I think it's written somewhere in the Bible and has nothing to do with luck or cut of the suit.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Jimmy Savetic. He's reading from his new book, Secret Society of Dog, which was just published by Awesome Books. You really, really are good with dialogue in these poems, and I think, you know, it's really hard to do that well. When you write, are you trying to really remember or really, really kind of capture how these voices sound to you, or is there a lot of revision involved?
No, it just comes to me. I've taken thousands and thousands of reports. And you write how they talk to you. And this energy comes in. At 3 in the morning, this energy comes. It's like, you know, I can't even describe it. It's like, it's a beautiful energy through my hands, through the room. It's almost lightning and thunder. It's like, I can feel the voices. And I remember that. Because also when I worked undercover, you had to become a character. You know, I played, for example, a stuttering retard. I played the role of from the South. When I was out there hunting for the ladies of the evening, I was a Southern gentleman. I became a truck driver, and I made these characters up. And actually, I stayed alive by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun in a way. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I know politically correct, you're not allowed to say stuttering retard. I realize that. Mm-hmm. But it was my way of becoming that. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
I wanted to ask you about the event that's coming up on the on December 14th. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I want to be reading over Mitchell's Barn Restaurant at 7 o'clock, along with Ed Ochester, a great poet. Well, I think he's one of the greatest poets. Matter of fact, he was one of my teachers. And he is going to be reading with me, as well as Edna Macheski. She's 97 years old, and a couple other guest poets. Meet us at Mitchell's 7 o'clock on the 14th. Bring a toy or make a donation at the door. I deliver Christmas Eve presents to naughty kids. And I don't think there's such a thing as a bad kid, but there's a couple naughty ones that don't get too much.
Okay, so this is like a Toys for Tots event.
It kind of like that.
Kind of like that.
I've been doing it for about 40 years.
Okay, but it's not actually sponsored by Toys for Tots.
No, this is sponsored by
Jimmy Savetic's Toys Savetic for Tots.
And the Police Athletic League.
Okay, great. Well, that's good to know. So, and it's open to the public.
Yes.
Free and open to the public?
Free, but it
will suggest a donation.
It's request a donation.
And bring a toy.
And if anybody wants, doesn't want to, nobody's going to get – I mean, there's no poetry police there.
Right, okay. And Mitchell's is downtown
Third
Pittsburgh?
And Ross.
Third and Ross Street. Okay, great. That's the 14th, December 14th, Tuesday evening.
And it's pretty racy poetry. This is like this is censored poetry I'm reading you now, but we do get a little testy there. It's not for sensitive ears on the night that I read.
Right. So it's not a reading for children.
It's not reading
no,
for children.
The event is to benefit children, but it's not
exactly.
For children. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. And you know, we're not censoring you, Jim.
I know.
It's
I censored myself.
Regulations.
I censored myself.
Okay. So we have time for a few more poems.
I want to read you this one. This is called Nameless. This is a sad poem. This is my friend did this, and Nameless. Anyway, in the month of May, 4 officers were killed, and 1 was killed this month of June. Some morbid sense of curiosity. I look at the sick, and this job isn't cranked up to what it's supposed to be, chasing something that will never be caught. A man crushed his son and daughter today with a 5-pound sledge. Twins, 5 years old, and I don't want to know the little one's names. Little girl died next to her stuffed animal, and her brother awaits death. Father said, I only hit them twice, he told Detective Larry. They were not complying, Detective Larry said, not complying. He said they were not getting ready for school quick enough. Detective Larry gasped, a lung full of air, not quick enough. He said they wanted to wear their Power Ranger masks to school, and I told them, no, just get ready. Larry repeated, Power Ranger mask. He has kids of his own, not quick enough. Father said, I just snapped, lost it. The mother was at work at the time, hurried to the hospital in time to watch her son die, feeling the weight of the blows, and she was sedated. Detective Larry finished the interview, hearing over and over, I just snapped. Trees, limbs snap, in storms snap, wishbone snap, fingers snap, anger, self-worth, routine, law and Bible, bones, I think, green eggs and ham, pick up sticks, pillow fights, tickle, giggle, crystal, big shoes on little girls, tossing baseballs with little boys. Why didn't he just tell the kids they're going to eat giant marshmallows at school? Or it's paint the teacher orange day, and if you don't hurry, you guys will be late, and you will miss the ugly can of purple paint, hullabaloo blue pizza eating contest today, and grass skirts, and rub their tummies red, then sing, I love you in the morning, and in the afternoon, and underneath the moon. Anyway, Detective Larry goes home, hears his little one's laughter, and he loved deeper than the divine gift of love and imagination. That is the things you see as a police officer. I remember Little Amber. I'm not going to read you that poem, but heaviest thing I ever had to lift in my life was Little Ambler. And those kind of cases stay with you in the middle of the night. Last year or so ago, they killed three officers in Pittsburgh, and brothers fell like sky. I was at the command post, and this is, you know, the rule was start the shift, finish the shift. A piece of blue sky fell today, and I looked up and saw three shafts of light from the heavens. Blue shards fell like pieces of ash, bright, beautiful blue falling like soft rain, a blue like sadness of a note from a saxophone that cries the blues of lost love, blues like the sound of a bagpipe on a distant hill, notes of the pipes numbing my soul. Pieces of the blue sky fell today, falling on all my brothers and sisters, and I looked on their faces, and there were tears falling, and the tears were blue, and the falling blue shards were heavy and weighed heavy, and I watched my brothers and sisters drag as if they had pulled their very soul in a sack. I wanted so very badly to gather all the broken blue pieces and get a ladder and repair the holes in the sky. I wanted the ash to quit falling, wanted the blue sky without holes and falling blue ash, and wanted to dry my sisters' and brothers' tears. I wanted sirens and blue lights to stop, wanted silence, wanted the sound of violence to cease, wanted the raging storm to stop, wanted the falling sound of brass casings to end, and wanted to gather all the brass, and I wanted the anguish to stop, and I wanted to make a bell. I wanted to tell all my brothers and sisters to help me make a bell that would ring and silence the agony of the fallen blue shards. I wanted to make a bell of the brass casings that would reverb off the hill, the great river's brass bells ringing, silencing the hammers of hell, a bell that would proclaim, never, never, never again, never again, never again, never again. I looked up at the blue sky, and from the holes fell the most beautiful heavenly light.
It's the poetry of Jimmy Savetic, reading from his new book, Secret Society of Dog. Thanks, Jim. That was great.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Okay. Also, I want to remind people that on Tuesday, December 14th, Jimmy will be reading along with Ed Ochester, Edna McChesney, and a few other poets at Mitchell's downtown, 3rd and Ross Street, as a benefit for kids. Bring a toy with you, and it's at 7:30, is that correct?
7 o'clock, the door's open, 7:30.
Okay, great. You've been listening to Prosody, WYUP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Wednesday night at 7:30 for Prosody, 91.3 WYEP.